As soon as he arrived, Levitt said, "Well, there's one answer."
"Answer to what?" Stone said.
"To how this organism functions. I've seen the results of spectrometry and amino acid analysis."
"And?"
"The organism is made of hydrogen, carbon, oxygen, and nitrogen, but it has no amino acids at all.
None.
Which means that it has no proteins as we know them and no enzymes. I was wondering how we could survive without protein-based organization. Now I know."
"The crystalline structure."
"Looks like it," Levitt said, peering at the screen.
He frowned.
"Something the matter?" Stone asked.
Levitt was thinking, remembering something he had forgotten. A dream about a house and a city.
He thought for a moment and it began to come back to him. A house and a city. The way the house worked alone and the way it worked in a city. It all came back.
"You know," he said, "it's interesting the way this one unit interlocks with the others around it."
"You're wondering if we're seeing part of a higher organism?" Stone asked.
"Exactly. Is this unit self-sufficient like a bacterium, or is it just a block from a larger organ or a larger organism? After all, if you saw a single liver cell, could you guess what kind of organ it came from?
No.
And what good would one brain cell be without the rest of the brain?"
Stone stared at the screen for a long time. A rather unusual pair of analogies, because the liver can regenerate, can grow back, but the brain cannot. Levitt smiled.
"The messenger theory."
The messenger theory had come from John R. Samuels, a communications engineer. He had reviewed some theories about the way in which an alien culture might choose to contact other cultures. He argued that the most advanced concepts in communications in Earth technology were inadequate, and that the advanced cultures would find better methods.
"Let us say a culture wishes to scan the universe," he said. "Let us say they wish to have a sort of coming-out party on a galactic scale to formally announce their existence. They wish to spew out information, clues to their existence in every direction. Well, what is the best way to do this? Radio? Hardly. Radio is much too slow, too expensive, and it decays too rapidly. You do not use physics to carry your message. You use biology. You create a communication system that does not diminish with distance, but rather remains as powerful a million miles away as it was at the source. In short, you devise an organism to carry your message. The organism would be self-replicating, cheap, and could be produced in fantastic numbers. For a few dollars, you could produce trillions of them and send them off in all directions into space. They would be tough, hearty bugs, able to withstand the rigors of space, and they would grow and duplicate and divide. Within a few years, there would be countless numbers of these in the galaxy. Each single organism would carry the potential to develop into a full organ, or a full organism. They would, upon contacting life, begin to grow into a complete communicating mechanism. It's a bit like spewing out a billion brain cells, each capable of regrowing a complete brain under the proper circumstances. The newly grown brain would then speak to the new culture, informing it of the presence of the others and announcing ways in which contact might be made."
Samuel's theory of the messenger bug could not be discounted now.
"Perhaps the cultures will tell us more," Levitt said.
"Or X-ray crystallography," Stone said. "I'll order it now." X-ray crystallography could outline individual molecules. It came as close to photographing atoms as science could manage. But the device was the size of a large automobile, filled an entire room, required specially trained operators, and demanded a computer for interpretation of results. It produced a diffraction pattern instead of an image. This appeared as a pattern of geometric dots, in itself rather mysterious, on a photographic plate. By using a computer, the pattern of dots could be analyzed and the structure deduced.